We didn't talk too much, but we sat. I was playing bass. He was playing trumpet, actually. And so we sat like kind of beside each other in a row. And he was playing in a band, and they had kind of semi kicked out the bass player, parted ways, we'll call it. And so he, without us having really talked much, he invited me over, and I started playing bass for his band, The Operators, which became Fadeaways. And then, yeah, just through that, when we started, when you guys talked about doing music again, I learned how to put the drums to play in that band.
Okay, then we would have met in like 2019 when the Fadeaways were on tour in Kingston.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, did we...
Were you playing The Mansion? I think you probably were.
Oh my God, yeah. Hell yeah.
Well, we meet again then.
Nice to meet you again. Oh my God, that's crazy.
And was Sean ever like tempted to go on the trumpets with Barbecue Phil?
Maybe one day. We'll see. I think he's graduated a little bit.
I did admittedly have a big ska phase when I was younger, so we'll see.
Yeah.
I feel like it could work. I mean, you're sort of entering your pop punk phase.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So next is ska. Then.
Yes.
So next album. Okay.
I feel like musically, though, you guys kind of fill a niche in Toronto, because there seems to be like three big things for bands in Toronto. Everyone either has an indie side project, started in a punk band, or has a shoegaze band right now.
Right.
And I feel like not a lot of people are doing like the alternative rock thing. Like you guys have like, you have the like punk energy, you've got like rock riffs, and you've got like really alternative choruses and stuff. So I feel like you kind of fill that gap that I haven't seen a lot of bands doing lately.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
So, like, where does all this, like, where do all these influences come from?
I feel like originally, like, when we started out, garage rock was, like, really big. And we were all, like, myself at least, I was definitely into, like, Green Day, like, Lookout Records, like, kind of classic pop punk stuff when I was younger. So then when Together Pangea, Waves, Fiddlar, like, all those bands came around, like, they were just a little bit rougher around the edges and kind of, like, it was like a good evolution. So that was kind of, I feel like, what we were kind of initially into. And that's, I don't know, I think that just kind of informed our songwriting. We definitely like evolved and got into more, you know, various influences and stuff, but that's kind of remained like the seed of the band. And yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Your second album recently, I'm thrilled. Firstly, like, congratulations on the second album.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always like a lot of people make the first album, but then to get to that second album stage, that's almost like that's when the band becomes kind of legitimate in some ways. Mm-hmm. Like, you're here to stay.
Yeah, for sure. It took us a very long time to make the second record, so we almost didn't even get to that stage. But yeah, I think this new record, Unfurl, is definitely like our most mature. We wrote it a little bit differently than our previous music. We kind of wrote it more together, whereas before it was kind of like one of us would be like, I have this song, and we'd flesh it out, but we kind of just got in the room together and wrote all these songs. So yeah, I feel like that made us feel very united as a band. And
a much more collaborative process as well.
Yeah.
Did you find that, like, I mean, I guess we've kind of seen that the writing changed a little bit when you all kind of worked on things together. Like, to me, this album sounds a lot more almost like pop punk and like more energetic and kind of ready to give a little bit of a punch compared to the first one. Like, the first one's also really good, of course. It's that one's a bit more, feels to me like musically kind of contemplative and stuff like that. There are like slower moments. This one, it feels like you guys have hit the ground running. You're like, it's going to be energy to the max.
Yeah, I feel like there was a lot more like intense emotions fueling this record, so I think that just came through in the songwriting. A lot of like, you know, just grief and like confusion and like being older and frustrated by kind of more real things.
Yeah.
Whereas it was a little bit more introspective, like I'm an angsty teenager.
I think also, you know, the first record, we're, you know, around that time, the first couple years of the band, like, you're still learning how to play together, and like, now that we've been playing together for 10 plus years, like, we kind of have, you know, enough of an understanding about how we work together as a band, where we that's like settled. We have more room to think about like ways to take it farther and like change and grow. We don't have to like really focus on like getting things tight. I feel like that becomes more natural from us just like being in the room together, which is a blessing. I really enjoy that.
And you can focus on like the bigger ideas and stuff like that. Yeah. And, like, I guess there's a little bit more maturity, like, in the themes and everything as well. Because, obviously, your first album, well, we should say for our listeners, first album, 2017, it's taken a little while to, like, get to that point. So, of course, we would expect that it would be quite a different album.
Right.
But, like, I kind of want to ask, how did it take this all that much time?
I think the pandemic had a big part to do with it, like, obviously, like, it was hard to play music during that time, and we did end up actually sort of ending the band. We took a hiatus during those 3 years. And then also at the time, Sean and Duncan were in Fade Away, and they, you know, you guys were touring a lot, and, you know, so that was just kind of we had other things that were going on, but then kind of found our way back to this project. So that was kind of the reason it took a little bit longer. What was the other part of the question?
I was just kind of like, you know, like, how has it grown in that much time?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like Duncan was saying, like, we've all just gotten better at our instruments. Therefore, we're just a little bit more confident. And I think also, like, we were emulating, like, different things a little bit with this album. Like, we have all gotten into them, so I know we keep talking about pop punk, but we all got really into, like, shoegaze and, like, big beat and stuff like that. So I think those influences, we got to play with some new ideas musically on this record, which was fun.
Had a better understanding about like how to play with each other and how to play our own instruments, that like you can focus more on each other. And like, you know, I'll like start playing drums based on something Reed is saying or Reed is playing, rather than like trying to think of something that sounds groovy and cool. Like,
I think also like something you were saying a lot during the process of writing the album, Duncan, was like, you were often pointing out like, oh, we've done this before. So I think we were a little bit more critical of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Whereas before we were kind of just like trying to sound like the bands we liked. Mm-hmm. But this time it was like, okay, let's like push ourselves to evolve, like yeah. consciously, which was fun. Yeah.
I feel like you found your own sound in that way, which is like, yes, a little bit pop punk, but then there's also a bit of shoegaze going on there. I think I remember when I saw you guys last, one of you was wearing a Slow Dive t-shirt, I think.
Yeah.
So that's coming out too. But I also want to talk about that live show, because like, you guys go insane live. Like,
thank you.
But I was looking back at the pictures, and Michelle, you'll enjoy the show because like, they are really good live.
Thank you.
You guys are just all over the stage, like, There's like flips, there's jumps, there's all sorts of stuff going on. And at the same time, you're a really, really tight live band as well.
Yeah, I think that the performance has always just been really important to us. Like, we started out sort of as like a performance gimmick in some ways. Like, our first show like was meant to be a one-off in some ways. And we were just trying to be like as intense and, you know, over the top as we could be. So I think as we started to take the music more seriously, that
aspect like never left the picture, and you know, playing live was is definitely a big part of the identity of the band. Like just being tight and putting on a show is important to us.
Yeah, I think something my friend Astasia said one time is that I think is very astute is you can't guarantee that people are gonna like your songs, which is totally awesome and cool. But you can if you're going insane and like running around, it's like people can't not look at that, you know? So people hopefully will have a good time if we're just
Is that kind of coming from somewhere? Like who are you kind of looking to emulate on stage?
I don't know.
Huh, it's a good question.
I've never really thought about it. I'm sure there's subconscious influences, but I my friends.
Yeah, definitely friends of ours. Like there is a band called Goodbye Honolulu that we were we are still friends with all of the members, but when we were younger they were kind of like our older brother band, I guess. And yeah, they would just do like very like wild and unexpected things, like just say like crazy things, or you know, I don't know, start making out with each other, just like weird stuff like that. So I think just that kind of energy was part of the scene that we came up in, and it was like almost kind of trying to like outdo each other. Like
I think I agree with that. And my influence friend, specifically Jacob Switzer from Goodbye Honolulu, runs deep because I've known him since before I have memory. Like our parents played together.
Okay.
He's like five years older
than you.
Me.
Yeah.
4 years older than you. And so, yeah, he's known me since I was like maybe one. Yeah. And so I've been seeing him play in bands since the moment he started playing in the band. So as long as I've known that you could be in a band, I've emulated Jacob a little bit.
Yeah, and he's still like that. Like he's 30 and still like very bizarre and intense and crazy on stage. So I think even though we're older too, it's like, all right, that's never left the picture.
You still got them.
Yeah.
Still got them as like the role model of doing stuff.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. I think I got to see them like 4 times before they split up because they would keep passing by. Yeah, yeah. They came a couple of times. I mean, we keep talking about the mansion. The mansion just shut down.
Really?
Yeah. No one expected that.
It was like really like last minute announcement, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, that sucks.
Like they announced it like a week or so before closing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was really like the mainstay venue of Kingston.
True. Is the Toucan still around?
It's now kind of going to become the main one because like it's just that. The punkish venue.
I chipped my tooth twice in my life and both times were at a mansion show. Okay. And during a fadeaway show at the mansion. Sorry, at the Toucan, my bad. And they were both during the same song at two different shows. I chipped my tooth and I chipped it again playing the same song the second time. Yeah.
And both times were at the Toucan.
Yeah, and within the same microphones. We used to bring our own microphones.
Yeah, they should have called it the Tooth Can. The
the Tooth Can.
You can cut that from the interview.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be like the focus clip. I love that. What was I going to say? This is why I write stuff down, because my memory is so bad. But I do remember seeing you guys, and I like that stuck out to me. But I feel like it's also like such a big deal when you see that stuff like live and up close in person, because like obviously you've got like the big kind of rock showman people who you'll see on like YouTube or on TV or whatever, but like you were saying with Jacob and people like that, to see that up close must really be like something that makes you feel like you can do it too.
Yeah, I also like appreciate local shows, especially when it's like, you know, I feel like when you buy a ticket to a bigger show at like you know, a theater and stuff, it's something you anticipate over like a long period of time, but like local shows just like are the thing to do that week, like this Saturday night, I'm gonna see this band. And I don't know, that feels almost more memorable to me. I saw someone describe it one time as like, you know, when you like put on a movie and you don't really know what it is, and you're like, oh, I really hope this is good. And then when it hits, that feeling just stays with you forever. And I feel like that's very much true of bands as well. You just go to see a band on a random Saturday and it just is amazing and you really appreciate it and love it. I feel like that feeling sticks with you forever. Mm-hmm. So. Some of my favorite moments in life have been like going to see bands on a whim. Yeah.
I feel like you guys would fit in really well into like a kind of Toronto, current Toronto band scene kind of film.
Oh, cool.
You know?
Thank you.
Because I feel like you guys are really embedded in the Toronto music scene. Mm-hmm. Like you were just talking about Jacob, you were talking about Goodbye Honolulu, all the bands that you guys have like worked with and stuff as well. You recorded Unfurl, the album with Dylan from Tollies as well. Mm-hmm. Like, the community aspect, or like the Toronto music scene aspect, is a really important part of you guys.
Yeah, we could do our own version of that Mile End movie that's coming out. Yeah,
Dundas West Kids.
Yeah, D-West Kids, the sequel.
So kind of who were the bands that you were like coming around playing with as you guys were coming up?
We were playing with? Well, Goodbye was one. Wine Lips kind of started around the same time as us, so that was a fun, that's been a fun kind of like, you know, dual pathway to watch them glow as we, you know, kept playing and stuff. Roach is another one.
Yeah, Roach.
Roach.
Hannah, who's now Luna Lee, she was called Baines when we were younger, so we played some shows with her. Like in that era of her
Boneyard Boogaloo as a Halloween show we did.
A lot of people that are still in bands, like members of like So Perfect, like we, those guys were in like a hardcore band called Belt Fight, and another one called Homestyle Cooking. We were pretty lucky, like when we were in high school there was like 5 DIY venues open in Toronto. There was like Faith Void, Deep Bistro, Soy Bomb, Double Double Land, like all these spaces that were all ages and that you could go see local bands at. So I feel like
Cali Horse, another one.
Yes, Cali Horse. So I just feel like a lot of like people our age who were in high school, like 2012 to 2016, got into music pretty easily.
Yeah.
So yeah, shout out to those spaces and
rest in peace, Soy Bomb, rest in peace, Faith Void, rest in peace, D Bistro, the list is too long.
Yeah. Oh, we need all ages of venues.
Yes,
yeah.
What's coming up next for you guys?
Nothing.
We're on holiday.
This is the last show.
No, I'm joking.
No, we have some more. We have lots of gigs lined up. We're playing all throughout the summer through to the fall. We're going to be at River and Sky in Sudbury this summer, which should be fun.
Yeah.
And doing a little bit of writing, you know. We'll see. Nothing like super concrete, but just playing gigs and keeping
them. And I've got to say, there's a little bit of a Weezer thing going on as well. You've got the one song, pop punk song from 1994.
Yes.
Like, tell me a little bit about that song.
That was the last song we wrote before we went on hiatus. So when we started writing on Middle, it was kind of where we picked up in the songwriting process. But I wrote the song a long time ago when I was in college, just kind of, you know, being sort of a bit of a mess at the time. But I've always tried to kind of use a certain type of humor when writing about like darker themes. So, you know, having been a former pop punk kid, getting into music through like Weezer, Nirvana, Green Day, that kind of 1994 era, it just was an homage to that time to kind of make fun of myself at the same time, I guess.
Well, if you guys were a song from 1994, I'm sure you must have been asked this before.
No, actually.
That's crazy. Which song, which pop punk song from 1994 would you be?
I'm so not hip to the pop punk stuff as much as Reed is. So I'd probably...
Oh, he's got the Weezer glasses.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got to go first. And then
I need to get rid of these glasses. I've been getting that too much. I would probably say like something off of Dookie, When I Come Around. Probably by Green Day.
I don't know. I guess maybe my drummer answer would be like Senua's Apprentice. Though that's 93. Is it Aki 94? Can I submit that? I'm submitting it.
Yeah, it kind of works.
Yeah.
It was getting played in 94.
Yeah, okay. Hell yeah.
And one last thing, because we are recording your set tonight, and so people listening to this will be able to hear part of the show. What can they expect energy-wise or show-wise? What's going to happen tonight?
It's gonna be fun. It's going to be good. We're going to play as well as we can.
Jumps.
Yeah, hopefully you can hear the like jumping and whatnot.
Just like the thudding on the floor.
All the visual elements that you would get through video. Hopefully it comes through on the radio.
Well, we can't wait to see it at the Monarch Tavern. People are going to have a blast. Thanks so much for joining us, Barry Tipo.
like a pop punk song from 1994. Cause all I wanna do is drink and wallow on my bedroom floor. Feel my phone buzz so I can see if it's your name. I know it never is, so I just stare up into space. To cocaine, but I just gave myself a bump to see if you might see my face. But she still just looked the other way. And I wanna go home, cause it's late. Hug my pillow. When you ignore me, I try not to take offense. Maybe I've been feeling like a pop punk song from 1994, cause here I find myself again, drunken on your bedroom floor, listening to your talk shit about your boyfriend, when you could've picked me instead. You always ask me about sex right out of the blue. Do I like to be choked? Do I like to be chewed? That I could tell the truth, but I don't really have a clue how the fuck to react. Punch my pillow and miss it to no effect. All these feelings that alcohol suppress. When it's just another damn regret. When you ignore me, I try not to take offense. I've been feeling like a pop punk song from 1994. I've been feeling like a pop punk song from 1994. Now your friends just seem to sing along. Now all your friends just seem to sing along. I've been feeling like a pop punk song from 1994. I've been feeling like a pop punk song from 1994. And all your friends just seem to sing along. Yeah, all your friends just seem to sing along.
Ah, Saturday mornings. Whether you're waking up in a stranger's apartment or enjoying some time with the family, you need a nutritional breakfast for your ears. So join me, DJ Overeasy, for Makin' Bacon every Saturday morning from 8 until 10 on CFRC 101.9 and CFRC.ca.
Hello, You were listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Single Thread Theatre, running PXR 2026 this February. An exciting conference where live art meets extended reality. Get your tickets now. Learn more via Single Thread Theatre on Instagram. I'm Dinah Jansen, and each week this program features smoking hot local singles released right here in Kingston, Ontario, that have been featured in our weekly Release Radar series alongside occasional interviews. Local artists can get on the action with social media promotion and airplay on CFRC's airwaves by completing the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In today's program, we've got a number of new releases for you to enjoy, starting with Nolan Hubbard and Cassidy Taylor's new collaborative single, Birdie. We chatted with Nolan about the new song a couple of weeks ago. Head over to CFRC.ca and check out the archives for that discussion anytime. The song, composed and written collaboratively and virtually, is inspired by the shared experiences of disconnection and isolation, but invites listeners into a space of both heartbreak and healing. Let's have a listen now to Birdie by Nolan Hubbard and Cassidy Taylor.
Little blue bird, fly away. No one ever asked you to stay. Show them why you get high in your blue sky.
And that was Nolan Hubbard and Cassidy Taylor's lovely single Birdie right here on the Release Radar Rundown. Coming up, we'll listen to a new single by Yuta Monique called The World Ends at Sunrise, a tech single boasting high-energy groove with a danceable club-focused edge blending driving bass lines and rhythm. Here we go.
told me. Is ending. Hold me.
We are back here on the Release Radar Rundown. That was The World Ends at Sunrise by local artist Yuta Bonique. Coming up, we'll listen to some new music by 47 Teeth, whose band member Anna Robertson joined us last week to chat about the band's sophomore album, Fakers, a conversation you can also catch in our archives via CFRC.ca. The new full-length is a 9-song emo indie album that's hella focused, raw, and confident in its overall sound. And from it, we're going to listen to Radio. Enjoy.
I overheard you on the radio. Mentioned something about the weather, coming to rain. I never thought I'd hear your voice again. Well, never. I've been looking for the past in some way. Stuck it down to please on Sunday. I don't, but do you remember? I've been looking for the
And that was 47 Teeth with Radio from their new album Fakers. Up next on CFRC's Release Radar Rundown, we've got a little bit of country pop for you from Abby Stewart, who has just released a new fun anthem about embracing the carefree life, letting loose, and just being yourself. Here we go with Abby Stewart's new track, Halo at Home.
I feel like I do everything right. Everything is black and white. Guys that come and go, they're in and out of my life. They always find a reason not to stay. God knows they're never gonna change. So I know what I gotta do to take back my attitude. Brought my boots, brought my heart. Brought a little trouble, I wanna start. Had that good girl show my stuff. Yeah, it's time for her to loosen up.
And that was Abby Stewart with Halo at Home here on the Release Radar Rundown, supported by Single Thread Theater, hosting this month's massive PXR 2026 Art and Extended Reality Conference. Coming up, we've got some heavier stuff with the lead single from local rockers Exigen's new three-track EP, I Am Rot. From it, we've got Disdain, a song where fast-paced instrumentation meets pure hard rock. Let's go.
Stumbling
And that was Exogen with Disdain. Now we'll jump into a new single by Lumpfish called Valens. Catch Lumpfish later this spring as part of CFRC's Airwave YGK Musicians in Residence program. In the meantime, let's dive into some great pop punk from the Superfund local student band. Here's Valens now on the Release Radar Rundown.
And all that
And you just heard Lumpfish with their latest single, Valance. Be sure to give them a follow at Lumpfish Band on Instagram to keep up with the latest. And before signing off, today's intro and outro bed track is an older single from local singer-songwriter Julia Finnegan's album Listen to the Wallflowers called Kind of Love. And just a reminder that local musicians who want their new work amplified on social media and aired on CFRC can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via Visit Kingston.music on Instagram. And don't forget to follow CFRC at CFRC Music on Instagram as well. For now, we're going to end our show with the title track from local artist Ethan Churchill's new album, The Bloody Monster Club, a 9-track full-length capturing a mix of indie rock, 80s pop, surf, punk, and funk, featuring Ethan's lyrics and composition alongside mixing and mastering done by Jordan Bulos of Knives On and Mishmash. Thanks for tuning into the Release Radar Rundown, developed in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by your friends at Single Thread Theater. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll see you next week. You to take.